This is Guildcast, episode 24, for April 17th, 2006. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host Sean, and this episode is mainly a conversation between Lady Senea and I, answering some of the more popular questions we get asked in the game, as well as answering some emails and two voicemails I've received this last week. We experimented with Skype recording a while before recording the show, and it seems to work a lot better than the TeamSpeak show we did, although you'll hear what sounds like some crazy effects on Lady Senea's voice. But that's just Skype and pretty much the beauty of free voiceover IP. For anyone who may be interested, I'll get a little geeky here for a minute. And Skype recording requires an add-on to record both sides of the conversation. They're supposedly working on a feature pretty soon within Skype to do that. But for right now, it requires an add-on. There are several out there, but on this show, I used a free trial version of a program called Pamela. The best thing I like about it is it records each side of the conversation as separate channels, so it's a lot easier to edit them together. Anyway, for those of you who ask me about podcasting basics, that's for you. Now, this last weekend we had a trivia contest, and I wanted to thank everyone who attended. Hi, I'm a Tank won himself a nice Wenceslaus Faith and a glob of Ecto, while Princess of Glax won second place and a bonus question, getting him a nice Crippling Summit Axe of Enchanting and a Zealous Fellblade of Defense. And I forgot to tell him when I gave him that Fellblade that that's the same Fellblade that I used on Walmart Special for a long time, most of the game. And it's the one that I have in an old pic of him that I used to have up on the website. Now for the next contest, I'm going to do another trivia contest again, but with a little bit of a change of rules. First off, there will be more questions. I'll do 15 this time, with a bonus like I did on the last contest. And I'm going to make it so that you don't need to join my party to be able to play. The questions will be asked in the trade channel by me and answered in all chat by the players. And I'll hold the contest in an international district of a small outpost so that, with the exception of maybe a few random people, the group should mostly be people playing the contest. This way, I can have more people playing the game and people who may show up a little bit late can still have a chance. So, as for the time and place of this next one, they might change each time as far as the place, but for this next one, this coming week, it'll be Sunday, April 23rd at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, in the Ice Tooth Cave, International District 1. There's a nice little cove in the back of the outpost where we can hold the contest. And I'm also going to be announcing this on some of the major forums, like Guild Wars Guru and others like that, which is the first time I'm doing that, so I'm hoping to get a good turnout this time. Also this last weekend, I added a new topic to the forums. It's called GC Listener Connection. I made it out as a way for Guildcast listeners to form more of a community environment and help each other out in certain missions or quests that they may be stuck on, or for people who are just willing to help others out. I think it'll also be a good way to find farming partners, too. We have some really amazing players who listen to the show, who I think would be a good asset to the newer players who listen also. Plus, it can be a good alternative to random pugs. So check that out when you get a chance, and see if it can work for you. Alright, so now on to the show. I'll play this conversation that Lady Senea and I had last Friday, and then come back and do my normal sign-off at the end. Enjoy! Okay, so I figured that with this episode, what we'll do is we'll make it all about answering some of the more popular questions that you and I get asked, you know, on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a casual, open-ended show. We just talk about, like, our opinions, advice, stories, things like that. And I just want to say that to everyone who's listening that we're using Skype right now, so the quality is a little bit better than when we use TeamSpeak, but there might also be a slight delay a little bit where we might, you know, talk over each other, so just bear with us on that. So we'll get into some of the questions that were asked a lot. And I would say, I don't know about you, but I would say the number one question that I'm asked is, how do you make money in the game, especially early on?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, at least, like right now, I do a lot of farming tombs. Recently started farming UW, thanks to you. And I've noticed, you know, I've each run, you know, I'll make about 2K, somewhere around there, which is pretty good if you do it a couple times a day, I guess. One thing I've noticed, though, is with drops, like if you get Ecto, that's a good example, and especially with some of the higher-end greens, like Victo's Bulwark, there's a lot of scammers out there, and they pretty much set themselves up to make sure that they prey on people who get these things. Like I noticed in Temple of the Ages, there was some people saying that they would buy some Ecto for 7K or whatever, and when you go up to buy it from them, of course, it's 7 gold that they have in their window.
Yeah, I had a guildie who he sold 2 Ecto for 13 gold just like last week, and
ouch.
It just keeps happening, yeah.
Yeah, it gets worse and worse. Actually, just the other day, I found another Victo's Bulwark, so I was going to sell this one, and I was in Drox, and I announced, I said, you know, selling it for 75K, which I think is pretty good.
That's really cheap, yeah.
Yeah, because I know the price is going down. I just wanted to get rid of it. So this guy says, sold. So I said, okay. So he opens a trade window, and he puts 80K in there. And it threw me for a loop for a minute, but I was like, okay. And I went to hit accept, but he canceled. And I figured, well, maybe he just realized that he put 80K. And then he put it up again, and he said, if you're fast, or he says, be faster this time. And I'm like, okay. So he put it up again, 80K.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that same thing. And this is about when I realized that he was probably a scammer. So he put it up again, 80K again, and I hit accept, but he canceled again.
Ugh.
And then he says, if you hurry up, you might get that extra 5K. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, he's definitely a scammer. So I watched the next time he put it up. Of course, he put up 80 gold.
Right.
So I just canceled and walked away, and I didn't even say anything to him. But there's so many of these people, you know, it's getting out of control.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know what to say about that, except for if we keep talking about it, you know, people will be more aware of it. But it's not like something that ArenaNet is able to do something about, because that's just regular, you know, in-game economy.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's ways you can take screenshots and send it to them, but I don't think they could chase down every person who ever did that, because it happens so much.
No. They're more, you know, concerned about, you know, like, account abuse and things like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to say, you know, with those stories, I just wanted to point out that when you're to that point when you can make a lot of money, when you farm for money, you know, just be careful, because there's ways that other people make money, and it's not entirely honest.
Yeah.
But as far as early on money making, do you have any ideas for that?
Well, as I was first going through the game, I didn't buy any armor, because I realized as you get to each new town, there was always a new armor crafter, and you'd be spending more and more. So I always just collected all of my armor, and then finally when I got to Drox or wherever I wanted to get my final armor, I went and bought that. And really, if you play well, then you're not going to suffer too much from just having collector's armor.
Yeah, that's a good point. The fact that, you know, you'll have more money if you don't spend as much.
Exactly, yeah.
And another thing I get asked a lot, too, is, it's kind of in conjunction with that, is about item pricing. People always want to know, you know, how much to sell things for, and, you know, they tell me I have this gold staff with this hail mod and this and this, and I am so bad at that kind of stuff, I don't know. First of all, it's pretty much impossible to keep up with pricing on everything, but, There's certain greens that go for a consistent amount.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there's certain websites out there. I think it's either gwonline.net or guildwarsguru.com. One of those two has like an auction house, and I'm going to check into it and put it in the show notes. But don't you use rpgtraders.com?
Yeah, I do. And it basically, all you do is you just, if you have an item, you can, you know, just post it up there as an auction, and people can bid on it, and then you can accept if you, you know, think that that's enough for your trade. But I also have some threads that I usually go to. I think it's GW Online, and they're just maintained by regular users like us, and they just keep track of how much things are going for, and they're usually updated pretty regularly, like within a couple of weeks. So I posted those links on the forums in the trading post.
Oh, okay.
That's what I use to try to keep up with how much things are going for.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should look at the forums.
So you put them there.
Yeah. No, actually, I look at them a lot. I do remember that post you made, though.
But yeah, I like to sell green items a lot because I usually have a pretty good idea of how much those are going for. I have, like, a list that I printed out from one of those threads of how much basic mods are worth, and then I can usually guess how much an item's worth by looking at what mods are on it, but sometimes you can't tell because the requirement for the item makes a difference, and then, like, one sword might not be worth the same as another sword, and you get all of these different complications involved in it.
Yeah. Plus, there's, you know, the old flavor of the moment thing where at one time, fiery dragon swords were all the rage, so they went for a lot of money. Then icy dragon swords and fell blades and all, you know, whatever kind of skin that it's, like, really popular at the time, that's, of course, is going to go for a lot more, too.
Right.
So I would say, I think some that stay pretty consistent that aren't greens are probably, like, chaos axes, fell blades, things like that, you know.
Yeah.
If you have just, like a long sword and it's gold and it has crappy mods, you know, it's nobody's going to even want it.
Right.
And especially, like, someone just asked recently on the message boards about purples, and I don't even try to sell purples. It just seems like nobody really wants them, you know, especially if they're not max.
Yeah, it's not even worth it to try to sell.
Yeah.
I had, like, a list of, like, certain types of items that people liked, but yeah, like, storm bows, things like that. If you have, like, one of those, it's, like, more sought after than ones of, you know, similar type stats, but, you know, different skin.
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost, there's just so many things to take into consideration.
Yeah, so one of the things they could do is try to search for a similar item online and see what other people are buying and selling it for.
Or even if they stand in Drox or Lion's Arch and watch what other people are selling similar items for, you know, even though it's not the best determiner because people will sell, you know, a hand axe for 50K if they think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
But that goes especially for green items. You can kind of watch what other people are selling the green items for and get a pretty good idea.
Yeah. You can see what people are selling for and you see what people are buying for and you can tell it's around, you know, in between those.
Well, another thing I wanted to talk about was somebody brought this up in an email, and then someone else started talking to me about it in-game, and that's the new economy for factions, the way things are going to change. Now, there's some givens, you know, like one of the biggest things being that die, you know, everybody's going to get new armor when they get to factions.
Yeah.
So die, I would say hold on to all the die you can right now. Even, I mean, I'm even holding on to yellow and purple for the heck of it, because it all stacks. Because, you know, once everybody gets their new armors, they're going to want different color combinations and all that. And the merchant price is going to skyrocket, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And just from supply and demand. So I would just hold on to that.
Yeah, they'll probably go up some. But I mean, the only die that I worry about the cost of going up and down is black and silver. Because the other ones, I mean, you can get them for like 100 to 200 usually. And so, okay, so maybe that, you know, a couple of them might go up to 3, but it's not really that much. But yeah, my storage is all full of crafting materials and dye, basically.
Yeah. And speaking of materials, though, you know, there's a lot of speculation about what kind of materials will be used for the next armors. And we got a little sneak peek in the preview weekend, but who's to say that that's actually what they're going to use, or if that's just something that they, you know, they're teasing us with or tricking us with. But I noticed that, like, with the Ritualist, I think it's the Ritualist. They used vials of ink, so maybe that'll go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I saw on the forums they were talking about ink, those glass vials things,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Spiritwood planks, and some other of those materials. Oh, those monstrous items that, like, are used nothing right now?
The monstrous fang and monstrous eye.
Right. So those may start being used more often, but I don't think they're going to be any more sought after than, like, vellum or damask or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to be the crafting materials that you use in the 15K armors, you know?
Yeah, and as far as greens go, you know, the current greens that are in the game right now, I have a feeling those are going to drop because they're supposed to introduce new greens, you know, with factions.
Yeah.
So I bet, the current greens are going to drop a lot. So, and the same with Ecto. and shards. It's not, like, proven or anything. Nobody knows for sure, but they're thinking that ectos and shards won't be used in factions, that there will be a whole different type of rare material that will be used for the highest level armor in factions.
Right. That's quite possible. I mean, I don't think ecto and shards are going to drop too much more than they have already. Because it's a point of, you know, like, vanity or maybe bragging rights of what kind of armor you get.
This coming from the girl who just got FOW Ranger armor?
Uh-huh. But plus, it seems like not too many people go for the Ranger armor.
Yeah.
The Fissure. And usually it's either bragging rights or it's like you see an armor and it's like, oh, I have to have that, you know?
Yeah. I haven't really seen anything like that yet on the faction's armor. I've seen a couple that I think look really nice, but I don't know. I guess I still need to look at them a little while.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if the ones that we saw are just the, like, regular, like, 1.5K, or if they're the 15K. Because I'm assuming there's going to be things like that for the faction's armor.
Well, I was reading a forum post, and there were some people, I guess, in the preview weekend, they actually had a city further on in the map where you could find the 15K armor. And there were people who actually farmed enough and saved up enough to buy pieces of that 15K armor in 2 days, which I think is incredible.
I saw that, yeah.
So there are some screenshots out there, and they look pretty nice from what I saw.
That's cool.
Again, that was a beta weekend, though, so we don't know if that stuff is set in stone or not.
Right. And yeah, I mean, one of the nice things about Guild Wars is all of these armors all basically have the same stats. I mean, the Drox version,
yeah.
And then the 15K version and the FOW is, they're all the same, basically, and it's just a matter of, you know, what do you want to spend your money on?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You don't have to make, like, tons of money in order to still be competitive.
Yeah, and that was actually, it reminds me of something that I was reading lately on something that Gail Gray was saying. They were having a debate about PvP versus PvE rewards. You know, they were saying that PvP has its rank, where you can show off your deer or your tiger or whatever, and PvE doesn't really have anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were people saying, well, PvE does have things like that, and it's the 15K armor or the FOW armor. And, you know, I was talking to a guildie about this, and I would have to disagree with that, because I don't think that 15K armor is any kind of, you know, something to show how good you are, because you can get a run to Granite Citadel or Marheim's Grotto at level 2, you know, if you did things right, or level 1 even.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think it's really any kind of a determiner of how good you are in PvE.
Yeah, I mean, I have my Mesmer and my Necromancer. Both just have regular drops because I didn't care for any of the 15K, and I was like, well, I don't like any of those, so I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
And then I finished the game with my Elementalist, and she's just wearing collectors. It's like, just because I didn't want any of the ones that are available. I just said, I'm going to keep this. It looks better.
To me, collectors seems like it's more of a show of rank, I guess you could say, because you really have to work for that.
Yeah, a bit.
I mean, as far as going to certain areas in the desert, you don't just go to one place and, you know, spend all your money.
Yeah. And plus, if you have more than one character, once you, like, your higher level character can go around and farm for the different items that you need for the collectors, and then just transfer them via your storage over to your second character, and then
yeah.
You've got all your armor. It's like, no problem.
I know, like, when I made my Necromancer, I had the armor picked out before I made her. Actually, I was at work, looking at, you know, the forums and picking out what armor I thought was the coolest, because I knew I wanted to make a Necromancer, so, and I knew I wanted to make a female. So then when I got home from work, I created the character, got to post-searing at level 2, and then had some friends run me all the way to Drox, and I think I did some fighting on the way, so I got to level 3. So I got to Marheim's Grotto and Granite Citadel at level 3, and I had the 15K armor, and that was fun. But it's just an example of how it's not really...
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just... It's who you know, you know? It doesn't really have anything to do with how good I was playing the game.
Yeah, so I don't think armor has anything to do with the quality of your PvE skills or how much you've played or anything like that. But no, Gale's talked multiple times about some kind of recognition system for PvE players, so there's going to be something. I don't know if they're going to base it upon experience or what, because, you know, experience, you can just farm for that really easily. And
yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I can't really even speculate, because I can't imagine, but be a good idea. Maybe they'll give us little emotes where we can have, like, a turtle or something.
Turtles are cool. Oh, I heard that those, the Luxon turtles are, like, siege tanks, and they'll, like, move around.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot of, it's actually on the GuildWars.com website. They have new screenshots up, and there's a screenshot of these turtles with, like, cannons on their back or something.
Yeah, so that sounds right.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Have you seen those new screenshots?
No, I haven't looked.
They have, I was checking out for game updates, and they have a little announcement, you know, saying check out our new screenshots for factions armor and everything. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of the new armors set up there, too. Not all of them, I don't think, but pretty much things that everyone already had anyway, screenshots.
Yeah, I think the players have a lot more screenshots than are posted officially.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. So I was thinking, when I was trying to think of things we could talk about together on this episode, maybe telling some stories. For example, like when you first started Guild Wars, do you remember what your first impressions of the game were and everything?
Huh. I remember playing the beta and really liking it, but I mean, I don't remember what specifically struck me and said, oh, I have to buy this, because I know I did. I went and pre-ordered it right away.
So there was nothing specific?
Not that I recall.
See, I didn't even join in the beta. I think I started playing in June, which was, you know, a couple months after it came out. And I forgot why. I think I saw it on some website somewhere. I don't remember where. But I did hear about it before, so I figured I'd, you know, go buy it and everything. And but I remember when I first started playing it, I had no clue. Because I never played, like, World of Warcraft or anything. This was all new to me. But there was a while there when I played the game. You know, I first started out and I played it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then for about a month after that, I just stopped playing it altogether. And I don't know, I guess it got kind of boring for me or something like that. And then I got some friends into it, and then we all started playing together. And then I started seeing the full scope of what Guild Wars is about, you know, playing with friends and playing with other people and getting together and doing these quests. And then, you know, I was hooked from there.
That's cool. I think I had a coworker mention to me that the last beta was coming up, and he knew that I liked playing this type of game, and so I think that's how I heard about it. And then I was playing, and the first character that I made was a ranger, and I had fun with that,
yeah.
But as I was going through the game, I realized how valuable monks were, so I decided to make my next character a monk, and then after that, I just took off with that because I loved it.
I think my first character was actually an elementalist, and then I got her up to about level 8, got her to post-searing, and then realized all the things that I did wrong,
yeah.
So I erased her, and then I made a ranger, and she didn't last very long, and I think I made a few other characters, but they all pretty much stayed in pre, and then I made Walmart Special, and then I made, actually, Priestess Julia, my daughter made. She named her and everything. She named her after my other daughter. So she made the Mickey Mouse hair and everything like that everybody makes fun of, you know, with the two buns. And she made her real small, you know, the smallest you could go and everything. But I kept her because I liked playing a monk. So that was actually, my daughter's creation.
That's cool. That's cute.
It's funny, though, because she'll see me playing or sometimes she'll play as her, too. And, you know, she likes to remind me that she made that character. She's like, this one's mine, right? I'm like, yeah, that's yours.
Oh, that's great. No, but I didn't delete any of my characters as I created them. I mean, because there's not too much that you can do that'll mess your character up. It's not like you can put the stats in the wrong place, and then you're like, your character's screwed. It's like, no big deal. You just switch your attributes around, and you continue. And if you, like, don't like the skill that you bought, you can just always buy another one.
Yeah, that's true.
But I've seen people before, like, remake their character just because they didn't like the face that they chose or something.
No. See, I can't even imagine. I know a lot of people will delete their character. You know, they beat the game with this character. It's level 20. And then they delete it so that they can make another character.
I know.
Oh, I can't even imagine that. I'd rather buy another account.
I know. So I had my account full with four characters, and I really wanted to make an elementalist next and didn't want to delete any of my characters, so I had to get myself a second account.
Yeah, I pretty much did the exact same thing.
But I think as I played the game more and more, I would see, like, how other people play their characters and would learn a bit. Like, I used to do some random arena battles with my monk, and if there was ever a mesmer in the opposing team, I would always be, like, dead instantly. I'm like, I have to learn how to play that class. So then I created a mesmer after that. It's like,
yeah.
Each character class has their own strengths and stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's actually something that people ask me all the time, too, is what's the best class or what's the best mixture? And, I mean, there's, like you said, there's something strong in each class.
Yeah.
So there's no real bad one, you know?
It's like, there's no... People say, like, what's the best secondary for this? And I used to ask that, like, when I was taking my monk and going to take her out of pre-searing, I was asking people, what do you think is the best secondary? And, you know, everybody has an opinion, but there really wasn't a best one.
Yeah, that's for sure. I got a couple voicemails that I wanted to play, and then we can... kind of talk about it a little bit. I know we're probably not going to be able to talk a lot about them because they're not, well, they're kind of suggestions, or at least one of them is.
Hello, sir and ma'am. I have been playing Guild Wars for about a year and a half now, and I've been trying to find some, not quite glitches, but more or less bugs for farming, and I have actually found one for the Tomb of Primeval Kings. If you are... For everyone out there that's having problems with the siege worms, I know I have been one for majorly because they always seem to disrupt you. If you pull them far enough back and you get them under the bridges, you will be able to obstruct their view and they cannot attack you. But the minion master and all the other magic users in your party can still attack. I hope that helps some of you guys out. I know it helped me out a lot. Thank you. Bye.
Isn't that something, though, that's pretty well known?
That's an interesting little glitch. I guess so.
I mean, did you know about it?
I mean, I know that they get stuck at certain places and things, but...
Yeah. I know I've been with a few groups who have pointed that out and made sure that everybody knew to get in that one spot so that the siege worm will get caught right there. And I've seen it, you know, it does seem like it works, but I just didn't know, it just seemed to me like every group I've been in, or most groups I've been in, have already known about it, so I didn't know if that was just a common thing or what.
I guess. I mean, I've never worked at, you know, trying to use that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I didn't really realize it was a glitch, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But most of the time I just see, like, graphic glitches.
Yeah, now, if we want to talk about graphic glitches, that actually...
would be here all night.
Yeah. There's quite a few, actually. There was that one that I talked about a while back in Beacon's Perch, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where it was. Where, I don't know if you remember that, but where you walk out of the city, and then you can actually walk back in, but you're still considered, you know, in an outside area or whatever. There's another one... in Aurora Glade that I don't know if they fixed it yet. I probably shouldn't even say anything because they might fix it now. But you can walk along the side of the portal and you can actually walk around the portal, and then there's this whole area that's like, if you start from inside the city and it's like you're walking outside the city, but you walk around the portal and then you just, there's like this whole explorable area that's supposed to be outside area, but you're actually still in the city. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
It's kind of weird, but
that's kind of like an interesting thing. There's like no benefit from doing that except for you just like have this cute little place you can explore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's nothing exploitable there. You know, you just run around and like I went through there one time after someone showed it to me, and there was a guy. It's pretty big, so you get to the end of it, and. Basically, the graphics just end. It's like the end of the world, you know, nothing there. So, when I got to this point, there was a guy there, and he's like, no, I thought this was my hideout, my secret hideout, you know.
one thing I hope they never get rid of is, like, there's places where there's rocks where you can stand inside of them, and you're, like, totally hidden.
Oh, yeah.
I love those things.
Yeah. Actually, a guildie, he was doing that, and he was trying to make it look like the rock was talking, you know, trying to freak people out.
Yeah, because, you know, the word bubble appears right above the rock. But, yeah, like, those, like, graphic glitches are totally harmless.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I find glitches like that interesting, and I try to take screenshots of them just as, like, a little collection.
Yeah.
But as long as they're not hurting anybody, you know, or exploiting anything, you know, I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right, so I'm going to play the second one.
Okay.
Hi, Sean. This is Alan, otherwise known as Neuralis on the messages board. I'm a new listener, and I've already sent you messages on how much I love the show and how it's got me back into Guild Wars. Just want to say thanks. But I did have a beginner's topic that I thought might be good to cover quick in one of the episodes. I've noticed that there's a few different types of henchmen available, especially when you get a little bit farther in the game, where there's like a fighter and a brawler and a healer and a protector, and I don't know what other types there are. But I thought it'd be a good idea, especially for the beginners or those that even been playing a while and may not have really looked into it, to cover what the differences are between the different henchmen, especially when they're the same class. Okay, thank you for the show, and hope to hear from a new episode soon. Thanks, bye.
That is a good question, and it's going to get more interesting if you saw all the henchmen that are available in factions.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't really, like, I heard this voicemail, and I was going to do some research on it and try to figure out, or try to find out so I could let everybody know exactly what each one was. But I think I'm going to do, if not a whole show, I'll do at least a segment of a show on henchmen.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to wait until after the factions comes out so that I can talk about those, too, because, like you said, there's so many different kinds in factions, too.
Yeah, so, you know, the ones in factions are going to, you know, there's going to be a whole bunch because there's, like, an interrupter and there's all these various ones, but healer and protector are pretty obvious. One's, you know, chiefly healing, and the other one will try to prevent you from getting hurt before you do. And then the fighter and the brawler, I think the fighter uses a sword and he'll fight, like, more powerful attacks against, like, a single enemy, and then the brawler uses an axe, and I think he can attack more enemies at once.
And then as far as, like, some of them that they don't even label, like, later on in the game, you'll get Aiden and Menlo and Sin as the henchmen. They don't tell after their names what they are, and that's something you need to just kind of learn.
Yeah, but if you've done a little bit of reading, then you know who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you've played through the game, then, yeah, you'll know who they are. But Sin is an elementalist. Aiden is the ranger. Menlo, of course, is the monk. And he's a healer monk, right?
Yeah.
And then what other ones? Oh, Devona. Yeah, she's the hammer warrior.
Yep.
And I think that's it. But like you mentioned, you know, there's just from what we saw in the preview weekend, there's a ton of new types of henchmen. Not only just in the game as a whole, in factions as a whole, but also in each city, there's different ones. Like, there's Luxon henchmen, there's Kurzik henchmen, there's different animals that can be henchmen now. You know, there's the Avakar that can be henchmen.
Mm.
You know, so it's getting a little more exciting as far as henchmen's concerned.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be more choices. Though, you know, the AI seems to be very similar, unless they change that when Factions actually comes out. But I found that Sister Tai, who was a healer, would rush in very close to the enemies, hit them with her wand, mm-hmm. and die promptly. And there was some...
She must be related to Alicia.
Yes, she's Alicia's cousin. And
that explains it.
And then there was a mage who doesn't cast Firestorm after the battle is complete. He would drop meteors after everything is dead. So there are variations, but they pretty much did the same thing as the our current henchmen do.
You know, that reminds me, did you you did read those henchman interviews, right?
Yes, those were great.
Oh, those are hilarious.
They're so funny.
I should relink to those, because I know I linked to them one time, but I should relink to those, because those are hilarious.
Yeah. Anybody who hasn't read those yet should definitely go and see them. Oh, there was a couple people that wanted to be mentioned.
Oh, okay.
There was a guy named Teen from Tennessee, who has a guild called Hell and Fire, and they're apparently starting out, but they're going to be doing a bunch of PvP and GVG battles. And then they would also help people out with PvE if they needed it. And he said to either, if you wanted to join, ask for him. Teen from Tennessee is spelled exactly like you would think. Or speak to Healing of Vipers.
Okay.
And then also Jatoma said we had to mention him just because.
Oh.
So, hi Jatoma!
He'll be excited just for you to mention his name, I think.
He was also teasing me the other day, I think it was like sometime last week, where he asked me if I could run him somewhere, and I said, no, I suck at running. And he said, you can 55, but you can't run? And I said, yeah, that's on my agenda to learn.
I got a couple emails today, actually. Let's see, I got one from Lady Sinea. We won't read that.
Did she ask anything interesting?
She said, how much am I getting paid for this?
And what did you say? You said something good, right?
I haven't responded to her yet. I'll probably just ignore her, you know.
Oh, that's so mean. I'm going to tell her that you're ignoring her on purpose.
Oh. I hear her wrath is mighty, so maybe I should look out.
Oh, yes.
I got one that from Toodles the Clown, who's actually joined my guild, and he's asking about secrets in the game. Not as far as glitches, but secrets. Like, an example he gives is when you kneel in front of the avatar of Duena in Druid's Overlook, and then you get that secret quest. He's just wondering if there's other secrets like that. I guess, you know, little secret things like that. I know I can't really think of too many right now, but one that comes to mind is, actually they did a lot in pre-searing. I don't know if you've explored a lot of pre-searing, but there's little areas where they hide certain things. Like, there's an area where there's some drunken hunters in a circle.
Yes. I've got, like, 25 of those hunter's ales stockpiled.
Oh.
Yeah, just because, for fun.
Yeah. I mean, things like that. I imagine there's a lot of things that people would consider secret, but maybe they're just not finished yet. Like the tapestry shred from Gwen. That's a pretty well-known one.
Yeah, that's just, like, an item that we don't know what's used for. But I have all that stuff. I've just been hanging on to it, you know, filling up my inventory, you know, in case it's ever used for anything. You know, the cape, the broken flute, got some of those flowers.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't believe some of the junk I've held on to.
So I wouldn't really consider those secret, though. I think it's just, I mean, I guess it would be a secret if they ended up doing something with them.
Right. But if, as far as, like little hidden quests and stuff, they're more just things that if you explore around a little bit, you'll find them.
Yeah.
But speaking of, like, kneeling to one of those little statues, I recently discovered that it doesn't matter what emote you do in front of those things to make the avatars appear.
Oh, really?
Like, you can... Nowadays, I never kneel. I, like, yawn or do a fist shake or laugh or any of those things, and it still makes them appear.
That works in Temple of Ages, too?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So it's highly amusing. It changes the game in no way, but it amuses me.
Yeah, you are the queen of emotes, though, so...
I hate it when people have their emotes turned off. Then they don't hear half of the things I say.
I usually have them off, but then when I'm in a party with you, I'll make sure to turn them back on.
Cool.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed that. I know I had a lot of fun recording it. And thanks to everyone who submitted an email or a voicemail. Next week's episode will be on the topic of video recording in the game and the booming popularity of music video making. the show will have a little bit of a different format than you're used to, which should hopefully prove to be fun. Now, to contact me, you can email me at sean@guildcast.com, or you can contact Lady Sinea at ladysinea@gmail.com. You can also check out the contact info page linked from the main website at www.guildcast.com. I recently added more ways to contact me also, including my Yahoo Instant Messenger name, Guildcast, and you can now leave a Skype voicemail for either of us at the Skype username, Guildcast. So until next week, tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.
Okay, this goes in the bloopers. Rambling Thoughts of Sean. It could be a new podcast. I'd subscribe.
I think most of this show is Rambling Thoughts of Sean. It's the darker side of Lady Sinead.
The last week's show sucked because I was all drunk or hungover or something. Welcome back to Guildcast, everyone. I'm your host, Sean, and with me here is Lady Sinea. Say hi, Lady Sinea.
Yo.
No, put more sultry into it. Oh my god, are you a real girl?
I'm totally a real girl.
Wanna talk to me? Hello, ladies. So I take it that you're actually a girl, and I was like, what should we talk about next? And if you have a female character, you can dance for someone and get 100 gold. I will pay for lap dances. So, neener, neener.